My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
All right, it's a noon hour here on a Tuesday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. Here in about 15 minutes or so, we'll get to some comments again from Jerry Jones down with the Dallas Cowboys. Yesterday, we played some post-game comments after their embarrassing loss at home to the Lions. Well, he was on a radio station, our sister station, actually, down in Dallas today for his weekly interview, and he had some strong comments about where his franchise is at, and also just talking about the guys that he was doing the interview with. It was just pretty funny. We'll bring that to you in just a little bit. But let's talk some Royals baseball here on Cody and Gold. And we welcome in the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. He's brought to you by Technology Group Solutions, helping your business thrive in a connected world. That's TGS. JJ, good afternoon. It's a little bit later than normal, which I think I kind of like. You know, at this point in time, we have some more time maybe to talk to you. I just want to start with how you would characterize this 2024 season.
Well, we're really proud of what we were able to accomplish. Disappointed with the loss, you know, last week to New York. We felt like we matched up pretty well with them. We didn't hit. You know, when it comes down to it, I mean, it's no secret we didn't hit. But when you look at, you know, where the organization was a year ago and where we are today, it's vastly different. And that's thanks to a lot of the players in that clubhouse and a lot of the processes behind the scenes that, you know, we believe are improving. And, you know, it's something to build on. You know, I think about those six playoff games and, you know, you try to think of, like, what's the equivalent from a development standpoint. It's really hard to measure that. But playing six close games to the Orioles and the Yankees is going to help our team in the long run as much as it stings right now. So we're just proud of what we were able to accomplish, but not satisfied with the results.
For the offense, do you think it's as simple, like maybe I boiled it down too simply, JJ. I viewed it as there was maybe never enough time to get the offense back in sync following the Vinny Pasquantino injury, and that they were a pretty good offense for a majority of the year. You guys were a bad offense in September without Vinny because the offense never had any real rhythm, and then there wasn't enough time after Vinny came back for you guys to find that rhythm again.
Well, I think what Vinny did, first of all, it's remarkable that he was able to play again and be a part of the playoff roster. I have no idea how he did it. Really happy that he was playing, but even more happy that he was playing, and it wasn't 100%, but it was well enough to play, and he hit some balls hard. But not taking at bats for a month and then trying to jump in against some of the best pitchers in the game, that's not easy to do. But clearly, you know, when Vinny's injury occurred, you know, it affected our offense. We tried to piece some things together, but clearly things, you know, shift to Bobby, and now they're game planning for Bobby differently. excuse me. And then, you know, and then Salvi, you know, fell on those two guys. Michael Massey did a really nice job, and others got big hits along the way. The addition of Tommy Pham, you know, Paul DeJong had some big hits. So there were some things that happened that were really good, but at the same time, you know, our offense overall suffered. But when you look at the whole body of work, I think where we need to improve is just consistency. We're sort of a boom or bust. We go through these stretches where we're really hitting the ball well, executing at a high level, and then we go through some stretches where, you know, it's the exact opposite. But that's where all the little things come into play. I mean, we talk about this all the time. We've got to be able to manufacture runs at a time where we're not swinging the bats well. So getting on base, improving on base percentage somehow, running the base as well, stealing bases first to third, all those things have to be in our back pocket for when you go through some struggles, which every team does. But, you know, I think our offense was vastly improved from last year, even with these ups and downs. But as we mature as an offense, because I know fans don't like to hear this, but we still have some very young hitters in the major leagues. And as they get better, we'll get better. And those, you know, those times we're on that roller coaster, hopefully when we're on the downslide, we're able to get back up that hill a little bit quicker, and that's when we'll really become a good team.
It feels like this should be, at least in one way, a different off season for you guys, and just in the fact that, hey, you were coming off a 56-win season a year ago, and we went through the numbers right on opening day when we were broadcasting right outside Kauffman Stadium. The turnover on the roster from that opening day roster in 2023 to the opening day roster here in 2024, when you look at this offseason, do you feel like you're not looking to turn over the roster nearly as much as what you kind of had to do a year ago?
No, it's vastly different this offseason than last. I mean, I think the, you know, the players that we brought back from last year, they all have had great impact on our success. And then we added some players that are going to be back next year. So the group of, you know, a majority of this roster is probably going to be the same. You never know what the offseason is going to bring. But as far as the wish list is concerned, you know, last year it was starting pitching, it was bullpen, it was adding a couple bats. I mean, it was really head to toe. This year, it's a little different. We're, you know, really encouraged by, you know, the way our bullpen finished the season. You know, there were a lot of guys that were homegrown guys that got the opportunity when we had some injuries. They stepped in, they pitched really well. It was the best month we had out of our bullpen out of the 6 months of the season. The starting rotation, it should be intact. I mean, obviously Michael Wacha has a player option, and, you know, he's somebody we clearly want to bring back and keep this rotation together. And then you look at the offense, and as I've already mentioned, you know, we're trying to plug in some holes, not necessarily positional holes, but how do we get on base better? How do we look at our offensive processes to help the guys that are going to be here get better in their swing decisions? And then, you know, if we can add a couple players from the offensive standpoint, then, you know, that wish list is much shorter than it was last year.
We know that the deadline for Wacha to announce whether or not he's going to accept the contract for next year is 5 days after the World Series. Have you already started those conversations with Wacha? Or, since you said you have interest in retaining him, does some part of that include maybe just adding additional years to the one that he would already have the option to pick up?
Well, we're going to do everything we can. I mean, his representation and Michael himself knows that we have great interest in bringing him back. The advantage we have right now is he's not a free agent yet. So we have a chance to work through this and find out what is important to him, how much he liked being here, which he's assured us he loved playing here. His family is very comfortable here. He loves our team. But now he's pitched very, very well. And, you know, that the player option is something he doesn't have to exercise. If he chooses to go out on the free agent market, you know, he's going to do very well, and deservedly so. But we have an opportunity here over the next two and a half weeks to try to do our best to keep him in Kansas City, and he knows what our desires are.
Just one thing for clarification that Cody and I were trying to figure out, and I'm sure you can help us out with that, which is, knowing that he's got a player option, let's say that is not picked up, and there's a qualifying offer coming to play on someone with compensation back if an option is declined, or would that not apply here?
No, a qualifying offer does apply. As long as the player hasn't been offered the qualifying offer in previous free agent years,
gotcha,
you can make a qualifying offer to him. So in his case, yes, that could come into play, but hopefully, you know, we get some things wrapped up before we get to that point.
JJ, I want to ask you about maybe like an internal process. You know, people, you said like, and correctly so, fans will say, you know, the young players who aren't hitting yet, how do you make those decisions? When you're making off-season decisions about whether you need a leadoff hitter, I think you mentioned yesterday, or a corner outfielder with maybe more power, how do you go about the decisions internally to decide which players you think still have a much higher ceiling and which ones you're more worried about? When you go make those decisions, how do you kind of come to a conclusion on which guys you think still have that ceiling or will reach that ceiling here in the next year or two?
Yeah, well, a lot of it's just through our evaluation through the year. What's a player doing well? What's he not doing well? And do you think that can improve? You know, I meant to mention this yesterday, just slipped my mind, but if you go back and look at Mike Moustakas' year in 2014, it wasn't exactly what our fans probably remember. What they remember is the production in 15, 16, 17 when he became an all-star. And Mike was in his second or third year, very similar, you know, to where MJ is right now, to where Michael Garcia is right now. So we have to believe our players can and will get better. You know, the reality is there's only so many, if you want to say leadoff hitters, there's only so many guys out there that really are truly good leadoff hitters. And then how many of them are actually available? So, you know, our leadoff spot may need to be resolved internally. And we're certainly going to look externally to see if we can find the right guy. But if not, we got to be prepared to go to war with what we've got. And then you look at, you know, what's available and compare them to what you have. And if it's not going to be an improvement on the team, then we're not going to make moves just to make moves.
Sure.
You know, so we believe in the upside of, you know, several of the players that will be returning that are nowhere near free agency yet. And again, players are allowed to get better. And we just have to sometimes give them time, as hard as it may be to understand. You know, it's hard to just replace teams year after year. But if we're going to sustain success, some of these players have to settle in and become everyday players, or we don't have to make massive moves every offseason, and that's what we're hopeful for.
Does the amount of control you have of some of those young players, because you guys do have a lot of control on a huge chunk of your lineup and at least a decent part of your bullpen and some of the rotation, does that make it easier to like pick and choose where you might spend free agency money, knowing that some of these guys you don't have to extend or even make those kind of decisions on if you don't want to?
Absolutely. There's no question that's part of the equation. And, you know, and I don't really like talking about it, but, you know, players have options too. You know, if we commit to a player and they're not performing well, you do have an opportunity to option a player to try to help them. But again, you got to have a better player on the other end so we can win some ball games during that time. But players with control are always an advantage, you know. So the more your roster is comprised of, say, 15, 16 guys that you've got two to four years of control, as long as they are quality major league players, you're in a good spot. You know, again, you may have to go through some growing pains to get there, but once they cross over that threshold and become an everyday player, you're going to be in a much better spot moving forward.
We're talking to general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo. I think there's probably fans listening that saw how aggressive you were last year in the offseason in terms of some of the money that was spent in free agency, and they might be wondering, all right, should they expect you guys to be just as aggressive? Maybe it's not the exact dollar amount, but do you have any idea on if that is something that via ownership that you'll have the tools to go out and be aggressive again?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be aggressive in the sense that we're going to work just as hard and evaluate our club and make decisions and be aggressive in speaking to agents and recruiting players. Well, we'll be aggressive in that sense. We just have far less holes to fill going into next year. So as far as the dollars that we spent last year, you know, with the support of John Sherman, we were able to extend further than we probably anticipated. But we, at the time, we liked the way our off season was shaping up. You know, we could see a team coming together that was short one starting pitcher. So he gave us the ability to go out and sign Michael Wacha, which was a really good move for us. I don't think that we will need to do those things this year to the extent we did last year. You know, and the other thing you got to keep in mind, I believe it's eight players. We have eight players that are arbitration eligible that are due significant raises. So some of the money that's coming off the books is already accounted for. So we'll work hard. And if we're in a spot where we feel like we're a player short, you know, John has always been great to speak to. He wants to win. We got a taste of it. The city got a taste of it. We'll just have to be, you know, feel very good that we're in a spot that that's the right thing. But again, I think there's going to be far less moves made this offseason than last offseason.
Speaking of the moves you might make this offseason, we always know that that evaluates the starting pitching. Would your thought be going into, you know, this time of year? I know it's really early, JJ, but would you think that it'd be like Lynch and Bubich back in starter contention, you know, with Kyle Wright? Or like, how do you kind of see that back into the rotation with the guys that who did bullpen stuff for you, obviously, primarily at the end of this year, but have previously been starters?
Yeah, I think I'll start off with Chris. I mean, we got to keep in mind what he did was remarkable this year, considering it was a rehab year. So,
yeah, he was great.
You know, there were times I was scratching my head going, all right, he's in a rehab year. We're trying to be careful how to use him. He's throwing in the eighth inning. He's throwing back-to-back days, and he handled it incredibly. So really happy with Chris. That being said, we do believe he's going to be a starter in the future. You know, that's what Chris Bubich was doing. He was on track. He was moving in the right direction until he got hurt, a lot like Alec Marsh did this year. What Daniel Lynch did out of the bullpen at the end was eye-opening and very encouraging. You know, I would think, and this is without having him, we're going to meetings next week, I would think, you know, we'll probably build Daniel Lynch up a little bit in spring training and then make a decision on whether or not we want to continue to have him, you know, get up to 75 to 90 pitches to be a starter, or if we put him in the bullpen. But what he did in the bullpen was outstanding. So it's, you know, Kyle Wright's going to be back next year. Don't know if he'll be ready opening day, but he will be back. So that depth, you know, mentioning all those names on top of Singer, Lugo, and Reagans, and again, hopefully Waka, that is very deep. You know, you get to 7-8 starters deep. You're going to need them throughout the year, which is exactly why we acquired Michael Lorenzen when we did, because we felt like we were going to need that depth, and we did. And that's we can never lose sight of that. So all of those guys are in play to start. There's going to be competition. There's confidence now, whether it's Bubich in the pen or Lynch in the pen. We've always felt like it would be an easy transition for Alec Marsh to go to the pen. You know, we have guys that are capable major league pitchers, whether they're starting or relieving, and that's a good thing for us.
One thing yesterday in your media availability, you talked about in free agency, just the attractiveness perhaps of Kansas City compared to a year ago, not only because of the season you guys had, but you get to play with someone like Bobby Wood Jr., who's very likely to finish top two in MVP voting here after the World Series. And obviously Salvador Perez, hopefully a future Hall of Famer. Is that something you guys really believe could shift in one off season?
Well, we watched it happen last year, so I don't think it'll change this year. I mean, you know, I know this is well documented, but, you know, our success in signing free agents had as much to do with those players knowing each other, sharing a vision, believing Kansas City is a great place to come, knowing Bobby's here, knowing Salvi's here. You know, there were reasons players wanted to come here last year when we were coming off of a bad season. Now, when you look at this team, we are going to be more attractive, and players who are in that, you know, I always call it the third phase or final phase of their career. They're through free agency. They're not worried if they're major league players. They just want to win. This is going to be a team they're going to want to come play for. You know, I really believe that. It's a wonderful place to play, wonderful place to live. And when you have guys in the clubhouse like we have, these are the type of teammates others want to have. So I believe it will be helpful.
Was Tommy Pham and Gurriel and somebody, did you learn like a valuable lesson of, oh yeah, everyday quality at bats from guys that are veterans? Like, did that teach you something about the makeup of a clubhouse versus, let's just say, like a young guy coming off the bench?
Well, hopefully it taught our younger players. I mean, I'm not playing, so I taught them, you know, but you can see the type of at bats they take. I mean, Tommy's not afraid to get to two strikes. Gurriel, I think the at bat Gurriel had at Yankee Stadium against Gerrit Cole. He was down 0-2 and 1-2 and works a walk, fouls a bunch of pitches off, and MJ hits a home run the next hitter. Those type of at bats, when you're watching that from a dugout, if you're not picking up on this is what a professional at bat looks like, then you're probably not going to be in the major leagues a long time. And I put Robbie Grossman in that mix as well. I mean, they know how to put together at bats, but they also have had a lot of years in the major leagues. They were not like that when they were young hitters. they became those types of hitters. And that speaks back to our point earlier about allowing young players to play and go through the growing pains, because eventually they'll take the same type of a bat that we saw out of those veterans.
Lastly, before we let you go, JJ, appreciate the time. Cody and I were just talking off air about this, and I don't know, I think it happened in the last year or so that Major League Baseball had that, was it like an incentive, essentially, if you have someone finish in a certain spot in MVP, that perhaps there's draft pick compensation. Does that apply to Bobby, or does the extension, which obviously turned out to be a great thing for you guys, but does that impact the draft pick that you might have got?
Well, good news. As long as he finishes in the top three, we will get a draft for him.
So, well, there you go.
Yeah, no, it's the first three full seasons of a player. It's when they're in pre-arbitration. You know, so he would not have been in arbitration until this offseason. So he meets the criteria, and we would get a draft pick for Bobby as long as that voting goes the way we expect it to go.
JJ, we were worried. It's like, well, do you give him the extension? Is he just never in arbitration? You know, it's one of those like question. Muddy waters situation.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. Something we reviewed, you know, going through the process of signing Bobby last year. And we knew we would still be eligible for a draft pick if he had the year he had.
Awesome. Appreciate it, JJ. Thanks so much for coming on throughout the season. I'm sure we'll check in throughout this offseason as well.
All right, guys, I enjoyed it. Wish we were saying we'd talk again next Tuesday, enjoyed it throughout the season.
No question. There you go. That's JJ Pecola, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, who joined us throughout the entire year, and it was fun throughout the playoff run. We just kept having him on every single Tuesday if the season continued. But yeah, that last thing was, I know that might be a little somewhat inside baseball, but honestly, the fact that there sounds like they're going to get a draft pick is Bobby's finishing top three in voting. So he's going to finish top three in MVP voting, should finish top two, and they're going to get a draft pick out of that. That's a significant thing for the future for this club.
They have handled, and look, he's a tremendously talented player, and this is part of the reason. They have handled Bobby Wood Jr.'s career perfectly. From when they drafted him, when they called him up, even though they called him up early. Remember, part of this compensation formula is they were trying not to keep you holding a player hostage, like Paul Skeens got held hostage in Pittsburgh, even though he's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, for 3 weeks just to get an extra year of control. They didn't care about the extra year of control. Guess why? Because he's a superstar, so they paid him anyway. So they got to have a full year of Bobby Wood Jr. in the bigs, in addition, before he got to play in a postseason, so he could get used to the big leagues. They're still going to get draft pick compensation when he eventually finishes second in MVP for calling him up early. And they extended him a year before he exploded into a superstar. I mean, that's hit after hit. Drafting him number two overall, correct. Calling him up when you called him up, correct. You're going to get draft pick compensation. Paying him when you paid him, correct. Like, thank God they got it right. Because if it's a superstar, it's one thing. But then getting the decisions right around that player, whew.
Yeah, I think it's another example. Everything you mentioned, it's another example of what we've discussed in the last year, that the reason why you're excited about the future. Yeah, individual player, sure. But it sure seems like this current regime evaluation, ultimately, you know, pulling the trigger on certain trades, et cetera. Like, it seems like they have the right decision making and the right people in place to go and continue to build upon this season, that it's not a one and done type of year, that fans aren't waiting another 9 years for this team to get back in the postseason. You're like, well, why do you have faith in that? Sure, I have faith because Bobby Wood Jr. is one of the best players in baseball, and you have faith in other players individually. But you have faith because ultimately they're going to have to keep making great decisions like they just did in the last, I'll call it 18 months or so specifically for this club, going back to the Cole Reagans trade of over a year ago.
I feel good about them just where they are because they're in a better spot than they were a year ago and they won 56 games. But I also think he's right. They don't necessarily have to spend $111 million this year. Not because they can't or John Sherman's cheap or whatever the nonsense excuses we hear sometimes. They don't have to fix every part of their roster. They were a 56-win team 2 years ago. They had to fix pitching and hitting and defense and base running and bullpen. This year, they do have some holes like most teams do, and there are things to fix. But yeah, I don't need them to spend $111 million because I don't think they have that many problems to fix.
I'll be curious, though, still. I mean, I think a lot of fans are just where that payroll actually is. And is it a situation where, you know, JJ mentioned that like last year they liked how the offseason was going, and basically it sounds like maybe
they went back to the well
they were able to like, get, you know, give John Sherman a little phone call. Hey, we might be able to pull this off too. I know this is a little bit above where we, but hey, we think
it could be fun.
So there's always a chance that happens again, I guess. It's December and a player has interest. And like, you know what? This could really help solve blank and put us over the top in this area. You wonder. Or was it a situation where like, hey, we kind of gave you a little bit more money this past year, this year, that we're not going to do that. He mentioned arbitration. So there's some guys getting some raises. All of a sudden, the payroll's more because of that. It'll be interesting to see. I think Michael Walker plays a huge role in how they get go about the rest of the offseason.
Well-deserved raises, too. I'm always glad when guys go from, not that making $800,000 a year is bad, but they go from doing that to making a few million dollars a year. Probably not a bad day at the office.
Same thing for you and I. Same exact thing.
I'm going to try to go to making $1 million a year, too. The hundreds of thousands, that's not even a concern.
Mm-hmm. Up next, we'll get to what's trending and a little update on the trade front. Not just that Devontae Adams got traded, but maybe there's a wide receiver suddenly available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Bull next.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending. Well, the news out of New York today, the New York Jets trading for all-pro wide receiver Devontae Adams. Yeah, I know, not a stunner. It has been talked about for a long time, but
what?
It actually has happened. The Jets, according to Ian Rapoport, are sending back a conditional third-round draft pick that could become a second. That would require Devontae Adams being a first or second team all-pro or be on the roster for the AFC title game or a Super Bowl. So I think it's just going to be a third-round pick for the Raiders with the Devontae Adams trade. This all stems from the Jets. 23-20 loss last night. They've lost three in a row. Also, at the end of the game, Mike Williams seemed to trip on the field when they maybe had an open opportunity to get in field goal range and kick a game-tying field goal, although their kicker, Greg Zuerlein, hadn't made many kicks last night.
Wow.
Any,
anyway, he was bad. So
he was terrible. Both kickers sucked. Tyler Bass for the Bills was terrible yesterday as well. But Aaron Rodgers gets his guy and more and more all-in push for the New York Jets. No team has ever been selling their soul for one player more than the Jets are for Aaron Rodgers.
They're at maximum level. Next up on Watch Training, the Royals have four finalists for the Rawlings Gold Glove Award. Freddie Fermín, the backup catcher from Salvador Perez, he is up for the award. Bobby Witt Jr., to no surprise, is up for it. Shortstop, they got two pitchers as the three finalists, both Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans.
Nice.
Up for the Gold Glove for Kansas City. Right now, the odds on favorite, Freddie Fermín is not that. Bobby Witt Jr. had been, at least during the earlier portion of the season. I mean, I don't know. They got two out of three of the pitcher. Feels like they might be getting one there, too.
Next about what's trending, ALCS. Game one goes to the Yankees 5-2 against the Guardians. Game two is tonight. You probably saw that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and Garrett Dieter.
Good for him. I guess he's a Yankees fan, yeah, so I guess he just hitched a ride.
The suite or whatever club
seats. He probably hitched a ride on the jet.
Good for him. I'm jealous. Very jealous. Mets evened up their series. That was in key one after the Dodgers beat them up in game one. So looks like we're going to have a nice little NLCS at minimum.
Pretty much two blowouts. I know that game got to 6-3, but I mean, it was never any closer than that. The Mets jumped all over him, hit a grand slam in like the second or third inning, and that was over. Next up on Watch Training, the Jets will make Mike Williams available for a trade. That according to multiple NFL reports, saying that the wide receiver room is too crowded after acquiring Davante Adams earlier this year.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that name. I'm sure that name's going to come up in Dallas, might come up in Kansas City. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We moved some things around with the news about Davante Adams and Mike Williams. So we'll get to Jerry Jones' comments at 1 o'clock. I know we said we were going to get to that, but my apologies. Push that back a little bit to 1 o'clock as we went a little longer with JJ. Wanted to make sure we got a good feel for the offseason plans from JJ Piccolo. But let's talk more about the Jets for a second here, and then we'll get to random question of the day. So yes, first of all, Davante Adams gets traded. He's already in New York. It sounds like he was there yesterday before the trade was even official. He's been sitting out the last couple weeks with the Raiders due to a hamstring injury, and modern marvel of medicine.
Hamstring feels good.
Hamstring is just
a flight, you know?
100% now, and he is magically good to go. It's amazing.
I respect it.
What they can do these days. But no, Davante Adams was always getting up as a Jet. Everybody saw this coming. Conditional third. The Jets didn't have to give up all that much, actually, for him. This is not as crazy.
They got to pay every bit of the salary.
It's the salary, and it's coupled with firing your head coach. It's coupled with Hassan Reddick, who you traded for in the offseason, who now you're allowing to go get traded in his own right because you couldn't get a deal done with him. Mike Williams, who you signed in the offseason, now you're reportedly shopping him and going to trade him probably for, what, like a conditional sixth or seventh round pick. It's just craziness. You've lost three in a row. You're multiple games back in the division all of a sudden. I don't know the path forward necessarily for the Jets other than hoping and praying, if you're a Jets fan, that they find a way to be like the seventh seed in the AFC wild card. That's like best case scenario for them now, isn't
probably it? 8-3 would guarantee you one, probably, based on the new wild card format. 10 wins would get you in every single year. That's it, though. You finish 7-4, you might miss at 9-8. This is the same problem Cincinnati have, and I pointed out that they have. So maybe they're talking themselves into, because Aaron Rodgers, the one Super Bowl he did win, they were the last seed in the NFC and eventually went on to win some things. It's not from a lack of trying. They probably have one of the five best running backs in the NFL right now, one of the better young wide receivers in Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams. It's not like they're talentless on offense. Hell, Aaron Rodgers might be the least talented of the position groups right now. So like, it's not like they're not trying.
Last night, I didn't think he was all that bad, but Mike Williams, the interception at the very end was on Mike Williams, it sounds like. But Aaron Rodgers, I've never seen a quarterback in game look more pissed to be playing with his own teammates. Like, he looks like he generally hates every single person he plays with, and he just looks miserable out there. Meanwhile, Mike Williams suddenly is available. I have to ask the question.
Yay or nay?
I have to ask the question.
Is that what you're going to ask?
Yay or nay? Mike Williams. So let me just point out, Mike Williams, 30 years old, just turned 30. This year, 10 catches, 145 yards. He has 17 targets to go with the 145 receiving yards this season. Doesn't have a touchdown. I believe he was a little banged up at one point in time this season. Contract-wise, to trade is not a huge problem because it's prorated anyway. It's a $2.7 million cap hit before the prorated deal. So, and
there's
void years and everything after this. So it would probably cost like a conditional sixth or seventh. Do you have any interest in a Mike Williams that hasn't done anything in New York?
For a sixth or a seventh?
Yeah. Is he much different than...
Like, sure.
Isn't he just a crappier version of Juju Smith-Schuster? Both bigger-bodied receivers. Because Mike Williams...
Crappier version? I would say that the last time that either of them were relevant was 2 years ago, and they were receiving the same amount of yardage. So I'd say he's exactly like... He's not the crappier version. He's the same
Except
version.
I've seen Juju do something this year. I haven't seen Mike Williams do anything this year.
No, but like I've only seen Juju do something this year in one single game in which he finally had a capable offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you could be like, well, he had Aaron Rodgers. Technically, the 145 yards Mike Williams put up was better than what Juju was doing in his previous team, too. Last year, neither of them mattered. 2 years ago, they were both like 900-yard receivers, Juju for the Chiefs, Mike Williams for the Chargers. And Mike Williams has had he's had a more consistent career than Juju Smith-Schuster. I would say they're about the same player. And if they're about the same player, I didn't hate having Juju on the team and for a sixth-round pick. Same thing I'd say about DeMarcus Robinson. It's an upgrade. It just is. Like it or not, it's an upgrade.
Yeah, he's obviously multiple years older than Juju.
He's 30. He's, Juju's
Mike
27.
Mike Williams is, you know, what, 3 inches taller than Juju. I just... Normally, I would say, "Oh, 6'4" wide receiver." Like that's why people like Justin Ross. Like, oh, we don't have that in their wide receiver room. That part, I don't know, man. Like, put him on the list as well. Like with D. Rob, where it's like, all right, if I can't get Cooper, if I can't get Darius Slayton, if I can't get Deontay Johnson, then I might be interested. I think Mike Williams is getting traded to the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's who he's going.
The reason you trade for him, I think, is if you're going to use him in the red zone. Because,
yep.
I mean, he's the guy that we've seen jump ball,
they still stick
throw it
zone.
Up there, and, exactly. and let him go get it.
I love this.
Chiefs
is like,
just don't do that, though.
That's it. Sometimes we get like, right. I was going to say, Gold, like, we sometimes get this deja vu of what we would like the Chiefs to do in the red zone and what they fundamentally do. If what they fundamentally do, they're better off finding some 5'7" dude who can get to the edge and take a direct handoff, because they're more likely to do that than throw a fade to Mike Williams. Just straight up. Yeah. They are more likely to run a double reverse flea flicker pass from the guard than just throw a fade pass to Mike Williams. They have never done that. That has never been who they are. So if it's about that, I'm not interested. I would just say him and Juju are the exact same position. They have been equally as effective over the last 2 years in the NFL, except Mike Williams had more good years stacked up. If I say, what did you guys each do the last 5 years in the NFL, more good years for Mike Williams.
Mike Williams 3 years older, so it makes sense.
The other part about this is that Kansas City's got a level of... He would hit his prime or whatever. Juju's best year was in his second year, rookie year in the league. But I'm just saying, like, the same amount of time they've been in the league, Mike Williams has been more effective. Consistently. Juju Smith-Schuster's actually got the best big year.
I just wonder if that reason you don't trade for Mike Williams, because you know your style of play.
Yep. Maybe
it doesn't make any sense. Maybe because what he's best at, the Chiefs don't necessarily play that way.
Agreed. I will put him. He might get traded sooner though, like to the Cowboys. But I would put him as my secondary options. You got till November 5th.
He's not on the list
because their wide receiver room is so loaded in their mind in New York, and they want to get rid of him. And the fact that clearly Aaron Rodgers cannot stand Mike Williams. My guess is he might get traded in the next like 5 days is the problem.
Yeah. I think he might have traded before they play another game.
I don't think Mike Williams is on the active roster on Sunday night when the Bills or the Jets play the Steelers. This was the quote from Rodgers after last night's interception into the game and tried to throw it to Mike Williams. Quote, Mike Williams is down the red line. I'm throwing a no look to the red line. And when I peek my eyes back there, he's running an in breaker. He's got to be on the red line. It's the little things every single time. He just can't stand it.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, really just an A-plus teammate. Never thrown a guy under the bus. Also, we've all worked with people like this. Has that man ever taken responsibility one damn time for it? It's always somebody else. Oh, why can't they just get on the same cadence? Can't be adjusting things in my life. Not Aaron Rodgers. I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that was why it didn't work in Green Bay, because
it's ridiculous. He never takes any blame.
They had the talent at wide receiver, evidently, because Jordan Love is doing very well with everybody who they have there, Wicks and Reed and Dobbs and everybody like that. It's that Aaron didn't want to take the time to develop new chemistry with younger wide receivers. He had it with Davante Adams, and that's always been his guy.
30 years old, man. No chemistry to be decided.
Yeah. He never wanted to develop it. I mean, other than maybe Garrett Wilson, in a way.
Aaron Rodgers struck me as someone that is great at self-reflecting and, and you know, making sure that he changes and it's nobody else's thought and clearly doesn't think he knows the answer to everything. He strikes me as someone that would never believe that and operate
Aaron Rodgers right now would rather have Jordy Nelson and pick him out of the farm that he is living in right now in Iowa or wherever he is, because he's a farm boy. He'd rather have Jordy Nelson right now than Mike Williams.
He's not wrong. He'd sign Donald Driver soon rather throw a pass to Mike Williams again.
Like Javon Walker, please.
It's just kind of like, it's so stupid in a lot of ways, though. He never takes any responsibility. How about all the other plays leading up to that moment? And what's the point of throwing the guy under the bus in that moment? Because you knew Davante Adams was already in the city.
Yes.
You knew you could back over the car five times on his ass because you knew he was gone anyway. That's a really terrible way to act towards one of your teammates, currently still actively one of your teammates. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, one texter, 913-586-7965, is correct as well. It's like, is Davante Adams coming in to block as well? Because Aaron Rodgers was also getting his ass kicked because his offensive line can't hold up. I mean, that's the other problem. That was the problem last year. People were worried about, he only played four snaps, but that was the problem people were worried about last year and thought would be an issue and hasn't really been resolved, clearly. And I'll point out, so now Hassan Reddick is probably never going to play a snap for the Jets, and then they're going to trade Mike Williams as well. So just continue to clear house, and Aaron Rodgers didn't like the Green Bay Packers wide receiver room, and he's basically got the Green Bay Packers wide receiver room.
Man, basically, I mean, it is.
Lazard and Adams.
Other than Garrett Wilson. It's like if they had the Green Bay Packers room, but they one time spent that first round pick on a wide receiver.
If you picked out the 2012 or 2013 Green Bay Packers, some of those guys, that's the roster. And then, I mean, Randall Cobb came in. He's now gone and retired.
Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Devontae
Adams. He would have brought Jordy Nelson. He would have brought him in. You know he would have.
I'm shocked he didn't get Aaron Jones here. I'm surprised he ended up in Minnesota.
You're right, Drew. This was the wide receiver 2012 for the Packers. Greg Jennings, he's not available, I guess, for them to bring back. Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and Randall Cobb.
Oh, that's right. James Jones was really good, actually. James Jones was Alan Lazard before Alan Lazard became what he is now.
Any side benefit for you on the, just last thought on the Mike Williams stuff, any side benefit in your mind that they know Mike Williams' skill set better than any other team not named the Chargers? If they signed him, I would take that as a good side. They know what Mike Williams does and does well. They've been scouting him for seven consecutive years in San, you know, like for LA. So like they've got a pretty good idea of what it is Mike Williams does. I think that should be a benefit. You've looked at him more than anybody who's not the Chargers, essentially.
I hear you. Maybe. I don't know, man. Like, nowadays, whether you play against or not, they all have film on each other. It's not like it's some,
I know.
Like, I hear what you're saying.
There's
I don't
a little
know.
Bit of time and energy and all those things, and you look at him more.
But I think there's a chance Mike Williams gets traded this week. And so maybe it's the Cowboys are on a bye week. I can see the Cowboys. After CeeDee Lamb, they don't have anything offensively going right now either. So I could see maybe the Cowboys in a desperate move pull off a trade. Hell, I don't think the Jets would do it because they're not going to trade him to Buffalo. That would make sense, actually, but they're not going to do it because he's a division. But Mike Williams with Josh Allen, actually, to go with Keon Coleman could make sense. I don't know. I'll be curious to see who he ends up getting traded to.
That turnaround was quick, too. Within 12 hours?
Because it was... Davante Adams was always getting traded to the Jets this morning.
The way that it looked is he messed up. Aaron Rodgers is looking to the heavens. He makes the comments afterwards. Then the trade happens today.
But reportedly, he was in the city, and everybody knew he was in the city yesterday before the game. As Gold said earlier, this was maybe the single most predictable trade in NFL history. Every single person on the planet 3 months ago knew that Davante Adams would eventually end up a Jet. We knew everything. We knew eventually Rodgers would want Davante Adams because things would be falling apart. We knew that the Raiders were going to be no good, so eventually they were going to be tempted to trade Davante. It just all made too much. He'd already put nine Green Bay Packers on the roster.
He was hanging out. He was on McAfee today in Rodgers' room. And
I think it was at a team facility. It's not like they were hanging out in Rodgers' apartment, I don't think. And maybe I don't think it was.
In the same area.
Maybe it was. I don't know. I thought it was at the Jets facility, but...
He had to go meet with his boy Aaron before he ate food. He's like, before I get lunch, I gotta go hang out with Aaron. See my guy.
I mean, they're guys, they're boys. Now we'll find out whether or not he can make Davante Adams passable.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7965. You can, of course, watch us on video, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, at The Fan 965. Please like and subscribe us over there. We like seeing, you know, the video element adds, you get like, that one, that Vineyard Vine shirt looks like it's seen some stuff. Looks like you've had that one for maybe 10 years.
Well, that's the style of it.
It's weathered on purpose.
Yeah, that's intentionally
weathered.
Oh,
I apologize.
That is part of the style, Cody.
I thought maybe it had just like, no, it was one that you'd had for a number
of
years.
No, I think it's a couple years old, but no, that's you know, it's
excuse me?
Yes.
I thought it was just one of your favorites and it had seen some years.
It is, but no, that is, we would call that part of the style of the shirt.
Sure. Worn, right? Mm-hmm. Like having like a holes in your jeans. Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. The question I have for you today is about crime. That might be surprising to you based on this.
Wow.
Based on this show's history.
Trash of the day today was the story, if you missed it, of the person that got pulled over and had a bag that said, this is a bag that does not, or clearly doesn't have drugs in it or something like that. Yeah. And it did, in fact,
definitely have a bunch of drugs. Works under the same premise as stupid criminals, but I got into a conversation about what would you do instead. So a couple days ago, a Chicago train got robbed. Full of hundreds of TVs.
Okay.
Somebody took
a train
while it was sitting to wait to get refueled or whatever. A couple of guys popped over in the back, grabbed a whole bunch of TVs and made off with them.
Oh, you say he popped a couple guys? He shot?
No. Popped open the tab.
You said he popped a couple of guys. I was like, jeez.
No. Opened the truck.
Okay.
Grabbed all the TVs. Stole them without knowing who had stolen them. They had some CCTV, but from a pretty far distance.
Okay.
They got caught because they put on Facebook $100 TVs, like and share.
Jeez.
For if this gets 100 likes and shares, we'll give away 2 free TVs. So, 2 guys, pile of TVs, same TVs that were stolen. And then they openly were asking people to share about their cool TV sale on there. The question I have for you, this is the question we had, is obviously this is a stupid criminal. They could have gotten away with stealing the TVs. But
TVs, what a dumb thing to steal too, by the way, TVs. Like nowadays, like they're all very inexpensive. Like most of them are pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, $300, $400, $500, whatever. If tomorrow I had 40 stolen TVs ahead of you, how would you sell them? What would be your approach to selling them without getting caught?
I would wait.
You're going to sell 40 TVs for how long, dude?
I don't know, but I'm
pawn
not going
shop
on
to pawn shop. What's your plan here?
Well, pawn shop would be a terrible idea because when stuff gets stolen, they have records and police go there to check on stolen goods all the time.
Okay.
That would be a terrible idea. The other one for you, we're still trying to sell this Amazon pallet thing from a year ago that you promised we would sell. And my concern when we bought it was, hey, this is a waste of time. We're never going to sell it. You won't have time.
That's true.
And a year later,
you're right about the time thing.
That happened. I don't know.
It's been true every day since.
I think you just have to find a friend that has some connections, maybe. You know?
Do you try to sell one off to a friend? Like, you know, like Drew said he wanted a TV. You try to sell Drew one for $100 and be like, hey, you know anybody else who wants it? You sell them one at a time forever? How are you planning on selling your stolen goods?
I don't know. I'm just confused by the robbing the train. Were they on horseback and they jumped on the train? What do you mean they robbed a train?
It was parked.
How many
they
TVs?
They opened up the back tailgate. Hundreds, I think. Was
how did they get? How did they actually take the TVs?
Yeah.
How did they? They didn't carry 40 of them. How did they?
TVs aren't like light.
That's what I'm confused by.
I mean, they're pretty light now. They're not like. We're not all carrying
the text line points out, could mean they were getting refueled. What is this like?
I don't know what it was. It was stopped. That was the point.
Okay.
Let's see. 6 people were taken into custody for the theft. So there's a number of people. The daylight heist took place as they continued to carry the TVs out one by one with people waiting back in cars to take the TV. They got caught when eventually posting on Facebook, hey, TVs, brand new, $100. Share with your friends, and we'll give away 2 for free.
Oh, see, I just saw the foot. There basically 50 different people ransacked the same freight train. So this was a huge operation. From like people just knew that there was
6 people have already been arrested.
Yeah, but there's 50 people went on this train track, and they knew that there was obviously an opportunity to steal some stuff. So
someone says, post one for sale. Never take the post down. Sell one at a time. Craigslist post. Brand new TV. I think you got to take it out of the box. I think you got to sell it like it's a used TV.
Correct.
I think keeping it brand, that would be my first move. Selling brand new in the box, they're going to know what TVs are stolen from that train. They're going to get on, the cops are going to get on Facebook Marketplace. They're going to get on Craigslist. They're going to get on eBay. They're going to get on these regular sites for this brand of TV, and they're going to look for someone in the Chicago area trying to sell it. I think you take it out of the box. Yeah, you make less money on it, but you just say, never used. Don't have the box anymore. Brand new TV, though. So you should be interested.
I just think this is a terrible thing to steal. TVs. Hard to get rid of. Heavy. Not really worth that much money.
Taking a lot of space.
What would
you steal, then?
Not TVs, I'll tell you. Next random question. Things you think are valuable to steal. Not TVs. That seems like a very difficult thing to get rid of. And it's not,
though.
And
people always want a TV.
See, I disagree. I'm buying used TVs off of Facebook Marketplace. They're not that expensive to buy new.
I know, but you think that way, but maybe other people don't.
Fine.
You know?
I'm just saying there's a lot better things to steal that would be harder to get caught, and you could profit off of more than selling TVs.
Scrooge McDuck over here just buy TVs no regard.
Black Friday's right around the corner.
TVs are expensive.
Get a Black Friday 55-inch TV for $170 on Black Friday. Anyway, go ahead.
No, they were just saying, someone says, I'm not even sure they got caught. All trains have sensors on them. Not sure seeing it. Someone said, were the TVs in a box? Yeah, they were all in a box. They didn't just put loose TVs in
the
back of a
train. Is that what we're going with? Mm. Inside job now?
It's always an inside job, right?
We still have not got an update on the LA heist. What was it? $20 million or whatever that at the Garda facility on Easter Sunday? They're long gone.
How do you even spend that money?
I don't think they have.
You got to clean it.
They're probably out of the country. They're long gone.
Oh, I would definitely be going. If I got away with $20 million and it had been a year, I would be in a country with no extradition. My ass would be somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to live not here anymore. I don't know where, but it's not here anymore. Not if I got away with $20 million.
Up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. We will hear what Jerry Jones had to say in a radio interview today. I think it's pretty funny and must listen. And one thing that the Chiefs are still doing on defense.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.